Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Isn't it awesome to know that there's a place for you, that God has a place for you? And you know, it's really interesting because often when we sing that song and when we think of those words in John 14, when Jesus talks about going to prepare a place for us in my Father's house, there's a place for you. But when, I was kind of thinking about that recently, you know, and that's true. Like, God is preparing a place for you in eternity. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, there is a place for you in eternity with God. And that is an awesome thing. That is an incredible part of our hope. But I think that there's actually more to what Jesus was saying. And just before I get to my message, this isn't part of my message this morning, but just as we were singing that, I really just felt God wanted me to share this with you, that what does Jesus talk about as being the place where God now dwells? Where does God now dwell? In his temple, which is his church. Scripture talks very clearly about his church being the dwelling place of God. And so that means it's you and me. It means my Father's house is his church. And this is awesome because it means that in the body of Christ, there is a place for you. And he has made a place, he has set aside a place for you, not just in the future in eternity with him, but he set aside a place for you in his body and in his house right here and right now. And if you ever feel like you don't fit, if you ever feel like you don't belong, then you need to kind of go back to this concept. You need to go back to this idea. You need to go back to these words when Jesus said, I've made a place for you in my temple. I've made a place for you in my house. I've made a place for you in my church. And to stand on those words and go, God has given me a place. Now, maybe I'm still discovering what that place is. Maybe you're still discovering what that place is. That's okay. But don't ever let Satan lie to you and tell you that you don't belong. All right? Awesome. All right, can we just pray as we just come to God's word for us this morning? Father God, we thank you for the presence of your Spirit here with us this morning. And God, I just pray that you would help me to share and to preach this word that you've put on my heart. God, I pray that you would give every single one of us ears to hear what you are saying. Lord, not my words, but God, your Spirit and the promptings, the things that you're stirring in our hearts and the things that you're teaching and revealing and showing to us. Holy Spirit, be our teacher this morning as we study your word, as we desire to know you and to know what you have for us this morning. We pray in Jesus' awesome and powerful and mighty name. Amen. All right. Work in progress. Obviously, you know, we've got some things going on in our building. Our church is kind of undergoing some much needed upgrades and refurbishment, which is awesome. But it's not finished yet, is it? It's still a bit of a work in progress. Sometimes when work is in progress, when you're middle of doing a job, and Greg does lots of renovations and stuff, so he would know this, it looks a bit like a mess, doesn't it? There are certain things that, you know, although you have faith that everything's going to look good at the end, while everything's in progress, sometimes things look pretty ugly and a bit chaotic. So here's what I want you to remember this morning. Like, you need to, like, caution, warning, fair warning to all of you. I'm a work in progress. All right? Contrary to, you know, some of you might not believe it, but I'm actually not perfect. If you don't believe me, just ask my wife or my children. Oh, they'll be happy to fill you in. But I'm a work in progress. And then what that means is that sometimes I might make a wrong decision. Sometimes people might get hurt or offended by things that I say or I do because I don't always get it right. I'm a work in progress. I try my best, but sometimes I just get it wrong. Hopefully, I don't think I'm the only one. but hopefully you can relate to that and you can give me some grace to you know, in that area and not expect me to get it right and make the right decisions all the time. But sometimes progress and change and upgrades and things when we're doing stuff, it can be messy. Sometimes things don't go as planned, do they? Just like our hallway out here that was supposed to be done ages ago, and then we hit one obstacle, and then we fixed that up, and then we hit another obstacle, and now that we've fixed that up, and I'm really, really hoping that's going to be all the obstacles, because I think that's enough for anybody. But sometimes things don't go as planned, and it's like that in our lives, isn't it? Sometimes there are things that we're working on, and just unexpected things come up, and it feels like, you know, we take one step forward and two steps back. And it feels like we come up against obstacles and hurdles, and we feel like at times that we're not making a whole lot of progress, and we just come up against these things that want to slow us down. And often the thing with progress and with upgrades is that they usually require a lot of work, don't they? Anybody can testify to that? You've ever put in a new kitchen or upgraded a bathroom or, you know, tried to clean glue off a concrete floor, you would know that it requires a whole lot of work. And it's not always easy, and it's not always convenient, but we trust, you know, we hope that at the end the results are worth it. And sometimes in our lives, and I hope that in my life, that at the end I look back and say, you know what, something the good came from my life, that my life was worth it. And, you know, when I hear that, you know, well done, I want my life to count for something and be of value. Well, you know, who's into jigsaw puzzles? Who likes doing jigsaw puzzles? Kathy does. More, yeah, a few of you, sort of. Some of you, like, you know, you like to start jigsaw puzzles and you do the board around the edge and then you give up because it all gets too hard. But when you have a jigsaw puzzle that's halfway done, It doesn't really look like much a lot of the time, does it? It doesn't look very impressive. It's hard to figure out what it's going to look like at the end. Our life, our physical bodies are a work in progress too, aren't they? When we you know, conceived and born, and you know, we're not finished, and we grow and we mature, and then we decline, and you know, we have to start working smarter instead of harder. But there's this progress, this natural kind of development to things as we go through our life, that our bodies are a work in progress. Your body is not what it will be at the end, you know. And then we know that we get an awesome new upgrade one day to, you know, a wonderful body when we meet Jesus. But I want to kind of talk about four key areas of, I guess, our spiritual life where we should expect there to be growth. And I'm going to give you some kind of tips and some stuff that I just really feel like God just put in my heart last night. I've got a cool acronym this morning. If you listen to my preaching much, you know that usually if I have a cool acronym, it's because I flogged it from somebody else. I don't very often come up with these, but I just felt like this was one that God just put in as I was preparing. It just was there. I'm like, wow, all right, cool, I'm going with that. So the four key areas, if you like, spell fuel, all right? Now, if you want to go anywhere, you need fuel, right? Yep. You know, even if you're walking, I know some of you are going, what if I walk? You know, it's like your body needs fuel. Yeah, so, you know, this my analogy holds up. Don't give me a hard time. But if we want to go anywhere, we got to fuel. So these are the four things, areas of our spiritual life. We want to encourage you to maybe evaluate and go, am I growing in this? And if not, how can I do some stuff that's going to actually help me to grow? So the first one, F for fuel, is faith. We ought to be growing in our faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. And anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Faith says, I trust that God is able to keep his promise. And without faith, essentially what we're saying is, I don't believe that God can do it. And you can understand why it's difficult to please God with that kind of mindset or attitude. So we, you know, faith is one of those things that that the scripture talks about, I'm sure that I wouldn't have to argue with you, too many of you today, to go, faith is a really important part of our relationship with God. Now, of course, faith is not the, you know, this sort of magic formula that we go, well, if I just have faith and I can get everything I ever wanted. You know, but it's about trusting in the promises of God. It's trusting that when God says that He'll come through for us, that when God says He will be with you in those struggles and those hard times, that when God says that He will give you His peace, that when God says He will be your provider, when God says He will be your protector, that we trust that He will keep His promise. This is what faith is all about. So how do I grow in faith? Now, some of us, well, probably most of us here today would say we've got at least some measure of faith. I don't know how you would rate your faith on a scale of, you know, 1 to 10. You know, maybe you're like, well, I don't really have much faith. I'm probably a 1 or a 2. And others would go, well, I'm pretty good. God's done lots of stuff for me. And, you know, maybe I'm a 6 or a 7 or whatever. I don't know if any of you got a 10 on the faith scale, you can come and pray for me because I've got a, like, you know, nice bruise on my arm and a sore back. And, you know, you can, no. Anyway. But one of the things that we can do to help to build up our faith, to grow our faith, is to ask God. We can ask God to help us to grow our faith. In Mark chapter 9, verse 24, do you remember this story of the man who came to Jesus on behalf of his son? And we have these amazing words when Jesus says, you know, do you want me to heal you? And, you know, the man says, well, if you can do anything for my boy. And Jesus says, you know, what do you mean if? You know, if you have faith, anything is possible. And he says, do you believe? And the man replies, he says, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And I think that is actually sometimes some words that I know that it's some words that I've echoed in my life at times when I've been struggling with something. I say, God, you know, I believe, I trust, help me overcome my doubts. Help me get past my unbelief. Help me in that. The second thing that we can do is we can focus on obeying. James chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, James writes this. He says, don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. You know, there's a little saying in our society. When somebody is all talk, we might say to them, come on then, put your money where your mouth is. Now, I don't condone gambling, but the expression kind of refers to this idea that if you actually really believe what you're saying, there ought to be some outward evidence. There ought to be, your actions ought to line up with what you say if you actually really believe what you say. That kind of makes sense? And so that's exactly what James is talking about in this passage of Scripture. He's saying if you really believe something, then your actions ought to reflect that. And so one of the things that we can actually start to do in our life is to actually focus on being obedient to those things when God says, hey, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to say. Here's a person that I want you to visit. Here's a choice that I want you to make. Here's something that I want you to sacrifice or give up or surrender. And as we begin to be obedient and listen to that voice that backs up what we say is our faith and our trust, we discover that God is faithful. And we discover that when we obey God, then He works things out for us. And it doesn't always work out the way that we might have expected or planned or desired. But when we look back on things, we see God's hand at work for our good. And that begins to build our faith and build our trust in Him. The third thing that we can do, and this is a really interesting passage of Scripture, the third thing is to actually put God's Word in your mind, to actually get God's Word into us. Now, there's a passage of scripture here in Luke chapter 17. If you want to turn to that with me, you can. We'll have it up on the screen here anyway. But there's this really interesting passage of scripture. Luke 17, verse 5 to 10. And so Jesus is with his disciples, and his disciples sort of turn to Jesus and they say, "Show us how to increase our faith." So here you go. If we want to answer this question of how do we increase our faith, the disciples had the very same question. And they asked Jesus, and so it'd be a good idea to look at what Jesus says, wouldn't it? You would think if anybody had the answer to this question, it would be Jesus, right? Yeah. Okay. So let's read. Verse 6, "The Lord answered, 'If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you.'" Now, I don't know what Jesus has against mulberry trees. I tend to like mulberry trees. I think mulberries are awesome. But he says, you could say to it, be uprooted and thrown into the sea. Verse 7, he goes on. He says, "When a servant comes in from ploughing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, 'Come in and eat with me'? No. He says, 'Prepare my meal, put on your apron and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later.' And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, 'We are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty.'" Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of a little bit of a strange kind of answer to the question of how do we increase our faith, isn't it? If I went to Jesus and said, "How do I increase my faith?" and he says, "Well, if you've got even a little bit of faith, you can, you know, tell this mulberry tree to go throw itself into the sea. And, you know, and when you've done all your serving, when you've done all your working, you shouldn't expect any thanks because you're just the slave doing what the master told you to." I think, thanks, Jesus. But let me just kind of unpack and share with you a little bit of why I think Jesus gave this response and how it helps us to build our faith. The first point, you know, that Jesus is saying is that it's not about the quantity of our faith. Now, this is fantastic. You know, this is especially fantastic if you were on the part of our church here this morning that maybe ranked your faith level fairly low. All right, this is great news for you. It means it doesn't matter how much faith you've got. If you've got a little bit, it's really not about your quantity. It's really about how big God is. It's not about how much faith we've got, but about who we have faith in. The second thing, now this kind of story is a little bit more, a little bit stranger. We can go, you know, first bit we can go, okay, yep, that's awesome. You know, we know that whole thing, faith as small as a mustard seed and all that kind of stuff, that's cool. What is Jesus getting at when he tells this story of the servant who, you know, and the master and all that kind of stuff? Well, I think what Jesus is getting at here is this idea that we will always be dependent on his grace. We are always going to be dependent on Jesus' radical, life-transforming, powerful, amazing grace. We will never actually get to the point in our life where we have paid off our debt to Jesus. Does that make sense? Jesus is never, ever going to owe us anything in that sense. So he's always going to be in that position of master where he's demonstrated grace towards us, what things that we didn't deserve. But we don't ever actually demonstrate grace towards God, because everything that we could possibly ever do for him, he does deserve, and we couldn't even ever give that much anyway. So we're always going to be kind of indebted in this way to him. God never owes us anything. Now, how does this help? Well, I believe that this helps us in our faith because it means that everything that God does for us is because of his grace. And because we will always be indebted, and we're always that's how it's supposed to be, it means that God is just as free to bless us and show grace to us before we get our act together as after. God is just as free to bless us before we get our act together as he is after. Isn't that good? I like that idea. I like that concept. That helps me. That helps me to actually trust and believe that maybe God might act on my behalf even if I don't deserve it. It helps me trust and believe that God might actually want to bless me even if I haven't got all my spiritual life together. Even if I haven't done my Bible reading this morning, God might actually still be looking out for me. Even if my life is an absolute mess, this answer, it helps to build my faith because God's blessing and his favor and his grace towards me isn't reliant on how much I've got it together, but just because he loves me and he chooses to show me grace. All right, the second thing, you. So we've done F. Others, hopefully, will be a little shorter. You is understanding. We need to grow in our understanding or in our knowledge of God. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 20. This is Paul, and he's praying for the church at Ephesus. He says, I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. So Paul prays and he's saying, I pray for you. He says, I pray that you would grow in your knowledge so that you will understand two things. He says, you will understand the hope that we have, the hope that he has given to us, his people. And the second thing, that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power that is at work in you. Now, sometimes I think that last little bit of that sentence, the in you part, is the bit that we trip over. We have no trouble most of the time accepting that God is wonderfully powerful. He created the universe and, you know, he can do all that kind of stuff. But then when it actually comes to going, excuse me, that power is at work in you, we kind of go, oh, well, you know, that's a little bit harder for us to get our heads around what that looks like when I actually personalize that and bring that down to what does that look like to have all of God in me, at work in me. But as we grow in our understanding of God, we grow in our understanding of what God has done for us. And I think this is what Paul is really getting at. He's saying, as you grow in your knowledge of God, as you grow in your understanding of God, then you get a better picture of what God has done. You have a better picture of the hope that we have and the power that is available to us and what God is doing in and through us. And then we begin to live our lives out of that place of where we actually understand all of these kind of spiritual realities and the victory that we have. And we live in hope and with positive kind of vision for the future because we understand what God has done for us. All right, so how do we grow? Here's a question for you. It's a really easy question, all right? Don't overthink it. Don't overcomplicate it. I guarantee that even the kids will probably be able to answer this question. How do we grow in our understanding God? What was that? Bible, yes! 10 points for Cherry. Well done, Cherry. All right, it's not overly complicated, is it? Like, it's pretty simple. If we actually want to get to know who God is better, like, we just need to kind of open up that book, all right? We don't get to know God better by having the book. We don't get to know God better by, you know, touching the nice leather on the cover, or by dusting it occasionally. You know, we grow by opening it up and reading it and taking in what God says. Because this is, like, God has revealed himself to us. Here's the awesome thing. God actually wants you to know him. God actually wants you to understand him. And he's made it as easy as he possibly can for you to know him and who he is by giving us his word. Hands up here if you always understand everything that you read in the Bible. Oh, gee, no hands. Oh, I'm shocked. No, we don't, do we? Like, there's some stuff in the Bible, and the Bible itself tells us that there are things in there that are really difficult and really hard to understand. Now, part of this is because the Bible reveals a God who is infinite. The Bible reveals a God who is actually really big and is beyond our capacity to understand and grasp. You know, Psalms talks about, you know, no mind can know, no heart can understand how big, how wide his love is and how awesome he is. And, you know, like he's beyond the capacity of the human mind to grasp the full complexity of, isn't he? And so when the Bible is trying to talk about this God who is so far beyond us and reveal and help us to understand, there's going to be sometimes some stuff that we struggle to understand and to grasp. But we have God's Spirit within us who helps us to grow in our understanding of him. And as we take stuff in, you know, we might not understand all of it right now, but we grow in it. You know, and who's ever read a passage of scripture and you're like, oh, I don't understand that one. You just kind of skip and move on. And, you know, maybe a few months later or a few years later, you read that scripture again, and, you know, or you hear someone talking about that scripture, and all of a sudden it kind of makes sense again. Now, it happens like that sometimes, doesn't it? And God says, okay, now I'm going to explain this bit to you. You've covered this bit now and you've covered this bit. So, you know, and we grow. We grow in our learning. We grow in our understanding. We kind of, you know, we build on those foundations of how we understand God. But the Holy Spirit works in us, and he's kind of the teacher and the helper and the explainer of things that we need to know for our relationship with Jesus. And bit by bit, As we desire to know him, as we desire to seek and to pursue him, that he helps us to get to know who he is. All right, number three, E, we grow in effectiveness. I don't know about you, but I don't always want to be at this level of effectiveness in my ministry. I would actually really like to grow in that. I would really like to become more effective in my ministry as time goes by. And I really hope that I do. I don't know about you. Anybody else with me on that one? You want to? Who's happy with their level of effectiveness? Who's like, I'm perfectly effective, as effective as God wants me to be. Who's as effective as God wants them to be? We still got a bit of growing room then. All right. Have a look at this verse with me in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Again, this is Paul. He's praying for the church as he's writing to me, saying, here's what I pray for you for. He says, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. There's that understanding of God again, all right? Verse 10, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. So there's that whole concept of learning to, getting to know God better, growing in our knowledge and understanding. But he says, what comes as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of God? What comes out of that? Growth in our fruitfulness, growth in our effectiveness. I want my life to produce all kinds of good fruit for Jesus. I want my life to be effective for his kingdom. I'm passionate about that, and I care about that because I know this is something that is worth. I've made this decision to devote my life. It's what I believe in is the answer for our city and for our community and for our nation. How do I grow in effectiveness? Well, let's not overcomplicate it too much. It's relatively simple. Part of it is about growing in that understanding, as we talked about before, that knowledge and understanding of who God is and what His will for us is. Secondly, it's we got to get healthy. Our spiritual life needs to be healthy if we want to be fruitful and effective. How much fruit does a sick tree produce? Not much. And what it does produce is generally not real flash. It's not the kind of fruit that you'd be selling to Woolies. All right, healthy trees produce healthy fruit. And so we've got to be examining our spiritual life, looking at our spiritual life. Well, how can I get my spiritual life healthy? How can I make sure that my spiritual life is healthy if I want to be effective? And thirdly, use your gifts. Kerry talked a little bit about this last week. You know, if we've been given gifts that actually help us in our ministry, if God said, here you go, here's all the stuff that you need, and then we go, thanks very much, stick that on the shelf, and I wonder why I'm not being effective, it's because you're not using the stuff that God knew that you would need and gave to you. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? So if we actually want to be effective in the areas of ministry that God has called us to and challenged us to, we need to pick up the things that He has actually given to us to equip us with it. All right? If you were driving trucks, Gary, and you had this huge load of, I don't really know that much about what you do, but you know, if you had to, you use a grader, right, sometimes? Yeah, I know you have. If so, your boss said to you, right, we need this road graded, and there's the grader over there, and you go out and start trying to do it with a shovel, right, how effective are you going to be? Not very. That job is going to take you a whole lot longer than what it should be, and it's not going to look anywhere near as good as what it could have been if you jumped in that grader and done the job with the right tools. All right, so there's this whole thing of God's equipped you, God's given you stuff. Let's use it. Fourthly, love. Love, 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 love. Bible talks about it over and over and over again. I don't love perfectly. Anybody here? Like, you know, anyone ready to cast the first stone? No. This is something that can be challenging for us. Jesus said that people were to recognize us as His disciples by the way that we love each other. But it's easy to say, and it's not always easy to do, is it? Sometimes people are just not easy to love. Sometimes people are just annoying. Except for my wife, of course. She's always easy to love. We don't always get that right. We don't always just go, oh, well, Jesus told me to love, so I'm going to go and love, and then we just do it perfectly. That's just not how it happens, is it? We're still human, and we kind of need to grow into how do we discover this. 2 Thessalonians, Paul's writing to this church, and he says, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. We grow in our capacity to love each other. Hebrews talks about, he challenges, the writer of Hebrews says, you know, spur one another on to love and good deeds. He says, you know, do things to actually help one another grow in your love. How do we grow in love? I don't think I need to convince you that this is something that we're supposed to do, do I? Does anybody need a scripture or an argument to say we're supposed to love one another? Okay, excellent. We can move on. How do we grow in love? Again, ask God. The Bible talks about, you know, love comes from God. God is love. If we need help, if we're struggling to love somebody who's not very lovable, God can actually help us. He can help soften our hearts. He can help give us ideas and wisdom. Secondly, to choose. Sometimes we just have to make a choice to show love to somebody, to demonstrate and give love to somebody, even when they don't deserve it. I know, it's pretty radical, isn't it? Jesus was like that. Sometimes He just kind of threw things out there that, you know, were pretty challenging and pretty tough. Sometimes people aren't easy to love anyway. Make a choice. And thirdly, remember how much God loves you. 1 John 4, verse 11 says, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. You know, part of this is about looking at that person who's maybe hard to love and going, Jesus loved this person enough to die for that person. Now, I'm probably not ever going to love them that much, but maybe I could just love them a little bit. If Jesus is in me, and Jesus wants me to be His hands and His feet, then maybe, just maybe, I could ask God to give me a little bit of His love for this person. So that's L. That's fuel. That's our fuel for going places with God. What was F? Recap. Faith. U. Understanding. E. Effectiveness. And L is love. Good job. Well done. I'm a work in progress. I need to grow in those areas. I need to get more fuel. I need to grow in that. And you know, it's probably no secret really that you are too. So, you know, we all are, aren't we? We're all a work in progress. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You know, and this is good because in many ways it's good for us to actually acknowledge that and recognize that and admit that firstly to ourselves, because then we go, we recognize that we actually have potential to be more than we are right now. I want to be more than I am right now. I want to be more filled with faith. I want to know God better. I want to be more effective, and I want to love people better. And it would be really frustrating to me if I felt like how I am right now is the best that I'm ever going to be. That would be a little bit discouraging, because I know how far short I fall from where I would like to be and where I know God wants me to be and what I have the potential to be. But this means that we've got potential to grow and get stronger, to draw near to God in those areas where we struggle. One of my favorite verses, and I memorized this a long time ago, and it kind of encourages me a lot, and maybe hopefully it encourages you too. It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and it says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within me, within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. Our building may not ever get to the point where there's nothing else that needs to be done. How many of you know that houses and buildings, a bit like you just finish one bit and there's something else that needs to be done? It's a never-ending kind of thing, isn't it? And our building here, there's 100 things that we could do and improve and upgrade. I mean, we might not ever get to the point where we can say, oh, it's perfect. But I am confident of this, that one day, by God's grace, God will finish what He started in me. Can we pray? Father, we thank You for that promise. We thank You for that promise that You are working in me and in my life, and that You will finish, that You will complete what You've begun in me, that You are helping me to grow. And Lord, I want to be surrendered to You. Lord, I want to be surrendered to the ways that You're calling and challenging me and urging me to grow. Lord, to grow in my faith. To build my faith, to build my knowledge and my understanding of You and who You are and how much You've done for me, how much You've given to me, that I can walk in that knowledge and that understanding. Lord, I want to grow in my effectiveness. Lord, I want to grow in my capacity to love others. Father, I pray for each one of us here this morning that You would help us. Lord, this wouldn't be a discouragement that says, oh, look how imperfect You are, but it would be an encouragement that builds us up and lifts us up and says, God wants you to grow. God wants you to get better. There is potential. And as we surrender, as we ask for Your help, as we read Your word, as we allow You to do Your work in us, that you will bring us to maturity, that you will help us to grow, that you will help us to do those things that you've called us to do and that you've equipped us to do. Father, as we go from here, Lord, I pray that this would be something that, Lord, that we wouldn't just walk away and forget. But Lord, that we would have, that there would be something that you're stirring in our hearts from your Spirit would say, here's the next step for you. As our eyes are closed this morning, as we're just praying, I wonder what the Spirit's been stirring in your heart this morning. I wonder what areas have really maybe just pricked your conscience this morning. I wonder what areas that the Holy Spirit's been putting his finger on in your life. Is it your faith? Is that the area where you've been really struggling and God's saying, hey, I need you to take that next step of trusting me. I need you to be willing to obey and step out in faith and just let me show you how faithful I am. Maybe that's what God's challenging you in this morning. Maybe it's your understanding. Maybe it's your knowledge. Maybe God's been stirring in your heart to actually build your knowledge, to study something, or just to be more diligent in reading and learning and hearing, allowing him to reveal himself to you more, giving him more time to do that. Is that where the Holy Spirit's prompting you and prodding you this morning? Maybe it's your effectiveness. Maybe you're aware that there are gifts and areas where God has actually given you things to bless others and to minister to people and to build his kingdom, and you know that those things have been sitting on the shelf. And God's saying it's time to pick that up. It's time to let that hunger and that desire in you to be effective, that desire in you to be part of building my kingdom, to let that grow, to let that take hold, to take root in your spirit. It's time to pick up those things and start to step out in faith and use those gifts that you've got, that you've been given. Maybe the Holy Spirit's been prompting you this morning in the area of loving. Maybe there are some relationships or some areas in your life where you've been finding it really tough. You know, that's understandable. There are people in our lives who, you know, they're hard to love. Maybe the Holy Spirit's just challenging that in your heart this morning. Challenging you to find some ways, challenging you to draw on his love instead of your own. To make that choice to love because he loved you. It doesn't always come with warm, fuzzy feelings. Sometimes it's just an act of will to say, you know, I'm going to love this person even if they don't deserve it, even if I don't feel like it. I'm going to love because Jesus commands radical love. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to challenge you this morning. Whatever area of your life it is that the Holy Spirit's been prompting you in, don't ignore that. Listen to that voice. Listen to that prompting of his Spirit in your life. Go away, seek him, pray. Spend time with him. Ask him to clarify things if you need to do that. Take a step forward. Take a step forward. Don't be content any longer to just stay in the same place. Don't let the obstacles cause you to get discouraged and to get into despair and get to that place where you just sit and you stop trying. Some of you this morning, I think, are probably in that place where you've tried some of this stuff before and you've hit obstacles. And it feels like you've made absolutely no progress whatsoever, and all it did was make a big mess. God is saying this morning, don't leave it a mess. Don't give up. It's part of the process. You're a work in progress, and that's okay. He's shaping you, he's molding you, he's fashioning you. And sometimes it looks messy, but don't give up. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you that you strengthen us and give us everything we need to do this. You don't leave us to just try and struggle away and do it on our own, but you are our master builder and you have an awesome plan. We surrender to you, to your plans and designs for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.